From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of March 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. A bit later in the program, Matt Bennett will be here. He's with Total Grain Marketing out of Windsor, Illinois, and will tell us all about the cash grain market. He's in the stead of Bruce Bostert, who is traveling today. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. And as we finish up the program, we'll take a complete look at what the weather forecast holds for our state of Illinois. It all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Checking the numbers as they settled up on this Friday afternoon at the CME Group in Chicago, the soft red winter wheat futures were higher. The nearby March contract up a dime at $8.50. The May at 8.32 1/4, up 8 3/4. July, $8.60, up 7. September, up 6 1/2 at 8.86. And December futures at 9.03, up 6 cents. March corn futures at 7.21 1/4, down 8 1/2 for the day. The May at 7.28, 8 3/4 lower. And July down 7 1/2 cents at 7.32 3/4. September futures $6.60, down 5 cents for the day. December contract at 6.09 1/2, down 6 1/4 cents. March soybean futures $14.07 3/4, up 2 1/4. The May at 14.14, up 2. July 14.21 1/4, up 2 cents. And August at $14.08, up 1 3/4. September at 13.82 3/4, up 1/4. November futures, though, were down 1 1/2 at $13.61. That, of course, the 2011 new crop. March bean meal futures at $3.63.80, down $3. March soybean oil at $58.96, up 70 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the April at $1.14 1/5, down 15 cents. June at $1.15 5, they were a dime lower. March feeders at $1.29.95 were down 2 1/2 cents on this afternoon. And April contract at $131.82 1/2, down 25 cents. Lean hogs finished at $88.47 1/2, down 32 1/2 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures at $104.41 a barrel, up $2.50. Ethanol at $2.61 8/10, that's unchanged. Natural gas at $3.81 2/10, up 3 4/10 of a cent. And the heating oil finished at $3.08 5/10 of a cent, 3 6/10 higher for the day. And the gold futures at $1,428.20, up $12.20. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now just about 150 points lower at 12,106. The dollar at 76.39 is down 0.08 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for Urbana-Champaign. They say scattered showers this afternoon. There'll be occasional thunderstorms after 3 o'clock today. The high near 64, south winds at about 17 miles an hour. They'll gust to 23. The chance of precip is 80% tonight. Occasional showers, a few thunderstorms. Some of those storms could produce heavy rainfall, low around 39 degrees. South winds at 13 to 16. They'll become westerly to northwesterly. The winds could gust as high as 22. Chance of precip tonight, 100% in the immediate area. Rain tomorrow through the noon hour, then scattered flurries. Cloudy, a high near 41. North-northwest winds between 15 and 18. They'll gust as high as 25. Chance of precip tomorrow, 60%. By the time we get tomorrow evening, it'll be mostly cloudy and will dip to 25 degrees. North-northwest winds at 9 to 14, gusting to 18. Sunday during the day, mostly sunny skies. A high of 40 degrees, northeast winds between 6 and 9 miles an hour, and Sunday night should be partly cloudy, a low of 25. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour, right here on the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line, as usual, is Mike Zuzulow. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hello there, Todd.
It was a busy day in Chicago. I don't know whether it started out with the happenings in Libya or with the Informa numbers, but I can bet you can tell me which was the case.
Well, it seemed like the trade was probably more focused upon what was happening in Argentina with the port strike, because that was one of the first calls I took from one of the news wires up in Chicago today, was if this port strike continues and spreads like they're talking about it continuing to do, what's that mean for supplies and what's that mean for the trade? And the mindset I had was, well, whenever you have something like a port strike happen, especially if it spreads, you're talking more supply disruption, so therefore you're talking about the trade probably needing to price in or the add to the price the fear that we're not going to get supplies as readily around the world, and therefore the price goes up. And so I think that's where the trade started off with. But clearly, between the weather and the Informa numbers and what was going on with the crude oil and the outside markets, I felt like trade really didn't start until closer to lunchtime, when more things were known about these other things, other issues.
Can you take me through? We talked about the port strike. It looks like it might spread in Argentina, but at the same point, where we might constrict flow coming out of that nation, Informa turned their numbers higher in the South American Brazilian bean production, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And at first blush, it looked pretty big because they raised their numbers versus their previous estimates by 3 million tons in Argentina and over 2 million tons in Brazil. But when you compared their numbers to the last WASD report, they weren't that shocking at all. In fact, Argentina's production of 52 million tons is still, from Informa, is still under USDA's 54, or excuse me, underneath USDA's number. I was in 0910 there, Todd. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Still underneath Argentina's by, or over Argentina's 49.5 for February by USDA. And then when Brazil's number was probably the one that the trade really looked at and thought, wow, that is pretty big, because that 71.4 million tons by Informa, which is a record, is well above the last USDA number of 68.5. But as you got deeper into the numbers, it didn't look as shockingly bearish. And I think that, along with the new highs in the crude oil, really supported the bean oil market, and that brought the beans around. I was very impressed with beans. I thought they would probably close lower, especially in the new crop November, and even the old crop, given the Informa numbers and given the wet weather forecast we're looking at in the next 2 weeks.
And this morning you did send a note out to your clientele, and I happened to get that note, not because I'm a client, but because you are kind enough to send it to us, talked about the Informa numbers, a bit about Ohio River. We'll get back to that in a moment. And you mentioned in this, if crude stayed above its last week's high at 103.41, that would mean something particular to you. At this point, what do you think?
Well, I think it boils down to this. The question I leave myself with at the end of this week is, can the USDA report and the U.S. weather offset the technicals that we went home with on Friday, which, in my opinion, the weekly charts look pretty vulnerable, the monthly charts look pretty vulnerable, and then obviously the most important thing and most germane to your question, can the U.S. weather and the USDA report offset the new 2.5-year high in the crude oil market? And I would say, unlikely, unless we get a bullish surprise in the USDA report, and it's likely that the crude oil will have a negative impact, in my view, in the grains, especially if the emerging markets and those equity markets this weekend start to go lower, to sharply lower, which that's really the catalyst. That's really the first domino, so to speak, Todd, to fall in my mindset, that the emerging markets are the ones that should feel the most pain. They feel the most pain from rising food prices because they take a greater share of their disposable income to feed themselves. The governments of these emerging markets take a greater share of their money to subsidize their energy prices so their people don't feel the hit like we in the United States do. So I think that's where, if the emerging markets equities markets start to fall, that's when I think you start to ramp up with the idea, okay, this is going to hurt our commodity markets. This is going to cause, most likely cause, the riskier asset trade trading that we saw earlier this week to be unwound. And that's really what to be looking for as we head into next week's report.
Well, I have to follow up with you on a comment you made about the weekly charts looking vulnerable. Dave Dickey was kind enough before I walked in here to hand me the Commodity Week set of numbers. And those do show the weeklies. But they show everything was up. Well, let's see. Wheat futures were up 24 cents in the March, 19 in the July. Corn up 9 and 7 in March and December, respectively. And beans were up 42 in the nearby March. November up 31 and a half. Are you sure those are set up to be vulnerable?
Yeah, and I'm talking more about the stochastics and the overbought conditions. And I would say the monthly charts are extremely overbought right now. When you look at a corn monthly chart, Todd, on just a continuation chart, pit-only chart, you're talking about being in my on my charts around 97% overbought right now. A monthly bean chart at this point for the just the pit only is looking pretty close around 90% overbought. So it's key to remember when it comes to stochastics and oscillators that I'm referring to, especially the longer term ones, that they mean less when the momentum is on the bull side. In this case, you know, whatever side the momentum is on is most important and is primary in the trader mindset. But when you get those stochastics that high, you really need to feed the bull. And when you look at a weekly S&P chart and a weekly corn chart and a monthly corn chart, you start to see more of a trend that you're probably in this situation now where you do need to feed the bull. And that's where the USDA report and the crude oil markets will, in the crude oil price rally, will they work against each other, work with one another, and set us up for a decline or not?
Hey, next week we'll see you at the All Day Ag Outlook on Tuesday, but doesn't look like you'll have to put chains on the old electric vehicle to get there.
No, that's exactly right. We're buying ethanol out the wazoo right now. It's how much cheaper it is. Look forward to it.
All right. We'll see you then. Thanks so much, Mike.
You bet, Todd. Thank you.
Yeah, that's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, is in studio with us. He'll have the Ag News in a moment. But, Dave, it's kind of important to talk about the all-day Ag Outlook. We sold that out, and folks who want to come need to have a ticket.
Indeed, that is the case. If you don't have a ticket and you are hearing my voice right now, please do not come, because there is a high chance that we're not going to be able to let you in. And that's not anything that has to do with Dave or Todd or Illinois Public Media. That's a fire marshal issue over at the Beef House. So we look forward to a great event that time. If you have your ticket, come. Do come about 8 o'clock Eastern time. There'll be plenty of time to get everybody in. We need that time before 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern time in order to sort of prepare for your arrival and get everything set up. So take that into account. When you come in, you'll get that Beef House roll, get that cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and prepare for the first event.
Dave will be back in just a moment with all the Ag News for the afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In agricultural news, a survey by the Agricultural Biotechnology Stewardship Technical Committee says that one-third of BT corn growers are not in total compliance with refuge rules. So EPA has mandated new requirements for 2011 and beyond. The number of growers in noncompliance has remained essentially unchanged over the past 3 years, according to the annual anonymous survey. The committee, composed of BT corn registrants, Monsanto, DuPont, Syngenta, Bayer Crop Sciences, and Dow AgroSciences, is responsible for grower compliance of refuge rules. The biggest rule change occurs with on-farm assessment. All seed companies have a target of farms to visit, like always, but the randomized grower selection process is now weighed based on grower purchase history and density of BT hybrid use. Growers have a higher probability to be audited if they farm in areas of heavy BT corn usage or if they buy all BT hybrids without buying refuge corn. A bill introduced in the U.S. House of Representatives is making a last-minute attempt to stop the U.S. EPA from requiring farmers and other pesticide applicators to have permits. The law would say that pesticide applicators would only need to follow label directions on products. EPA is expected to announce sometime in the next few weeks the new National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System rules that could require some farmers to obtain pesticide application permits depending upon where they live. The EPA was forced to create the program as a result of a 2009 decision by the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in the National Cotton Council versus EPA case. The court ruled EPA could not exempt pesticide users from Clean Water Act requirements. Indonesia's Agriculture Ministry and Statistics Agency has signed an agreement aimed at releasing more agricultural data to help food security planning. Analysts say that a lack of regular data on production, exports, and end stocks from Indonesia, Southeast Asia's largest economy, offers little transparency and holds back foreign investment. The agreement is set to cover food crops, horticulture crops, estate crops, and livestock, and will last for 4 years. The Agriculture Ministry in Indonesia will begin a cattle and buffalo census in June. And employers in February hired at the fastest pace in almost a year, and the unemployment rate fell to 8.9%. That's a nearly two-year low. The economy added 192,000 jobs last month, with factories, professional and business service, education, and health care among those expanding employment. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, urging you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. And Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what's happening in the world of agriculture. We'll post that one to the website by about 6 o'clock on this Friday evening.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Up next, we'll hear how farmers in the Midwest can lock in a profit this year. The 2011 federal crop insurance policies will be based on the highest ever average commodity prices for the program. That's $6 and a penny for corn and $13.49 for soybeans, says University of Illinois Extension farm management specialist Gary Schnittke.
Those projected prices have two impacts. One is that they increase the guarantees that are available. All revenue guarantees are projected price times the yield or APH yield or expected yield for group products times the coverage level. So as that projected price goes up, we can set higher guarantees. Second impact is that it does increase the premiums on the products. So as farmers purchase crop insurance this year, they'll find that in general their products are more costly this year.
Well, costly, yes, but very much worth the money.
Most producers should take crop insurance, in my opinion. And even though the premiums are going to be higher this year, with crop insurance in this year, most producers can guarantee themselves a profit. And that's very unusual.
There are several crop insurance policy choices a farmer must make, but fewer than last year. Schnittke says it should be possible in Illinois to lock in a profit using the Enterprise Unit RP product. It should be even easier in other states around the nation.
These products work pretty widespread, and in fact, if anything, they work least well in Illinois and Iowa because we think the premiums are too high here for the risk, particularly on RP. And that's less of the case as you move out from the center of the Corn Belt. But in any case, you know, those products still do provide risk protection that's worthwhile this year.
The farmers can visit the University of Illinois FarmDoc website to find out just how worthwhile. It'll produce quotes and expected payouts for all the federal crop insurance policy combinations for every county in 12 Midwestern states. The address is www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's programs are made possible by the Farmer City Antiques Merchants, presenting the 17th Annual Farmer City Antique Show on Saturday, March 5th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, March 6th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Blue Ridge High School in Farmer City. More information is at 217-356-3902.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the cash grain market is Matt Bennett. He's at the Windsor Grain Elevator. It belongs to Total Grain Marketing. That's TGM. Thanks, Matt, for filling in this afternoon on short notice. We appreciate you being with us.
Good afternoon, John.
Well, tell me what farmers have been asking you most often about their cash grain market and what maybe they have left in their bin or yours to sell.
Well, most guys are asking kind of a question to themselves and me, is $7 enough, and why wouldn't it be enough? So,
well, they're asking, but are they acting is really the question, I suppose.
Well, you know, there's not a lot of stuff in the elevator that isn't priced from the farmer. Most of it's in the elevator's hand. Now, there is quite a bit of corn still out on the farm, but I'd say for this stage of the year, we have less farmer ownership than most years, for sure.
Can you take a look out and tell me what that might mean in May, June, July, even if we're under normal growing conditions?
Well, I can tell you, you know, when we're talking about the cash grain market and basis and whatnot, most processors are actually booking farther on out. Basis levels aren't that good nearby, but I think most people are envisioning that there's going to be a bit of a shortage coming up. So, you know, I think that the basis is probably going to improve, and anybody that's holding on to grain, relatively speaking, at least, I think that they're going to have pretty strong basis levels anyway. And I don't know what the spot market will do, but you know, a lot of that's going to be dependent on other factors.
And then there you are again as to whether you want to hold on or is $7 now enough, right?
Yeah, and I think that it's twice the price that most guys thought they were going to get, you know, 10, 12 months ago. And it's a, you know, it's an excellent price. Everyone always talks about gambling bushels. I personally think that, you know, most guys have got a good deal of stuff sold, and if they're going to hold on, they're probably not going to hold on to a large percentage, and I wouldn't recommend them to do so.
When you talk to them about the acreage battle and what they plan to plant in your area of the world there near Windsor, Illinois, that's in what, Shelby County in the state of Illinois, right? What is it that producers are telling you?
I think most guys, you know, here a couple months ago, I had several guys talking about maybe planting a little more soybeans than what they had thought before just because of rising costs of anhydrous. But right now it seems like there's several guys that are kind of talking both ways, and I really don't envision there's going to be a big switch from what guys had planned whenever they got done doing their field work last fall. If we remember, last fall was an excellent year to get prepared for this year, and I think there's going to be a few swing acres, but for the most part, I think we're going to be, you know, in my area, we're going to stay heavy corn. It's been heavy corn in the past, and I don't think that's going to change any. I don't see rotations, you know, being a whole lot different than what they were last year.
And what are your bids for the day?
Bids for the day on cash beans would be $13.85, and fall beans would be $13.21. Cash corn would be $7.05, and fall would be $5.70.
Looking forward to having you in this afternoon for Commodity Week.
Sounds good, Todd.
We'll see you then. That's Matt Bennett. He's with Bennett Grain, actually with Total Grain Marketing. They're in Windsor, Illinois, and joins us here on the closing market report on this Friday afternoon. Back in just a couple minutes when we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Mulled Wine Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1709, Andreas Margraf was born. A German chemist in 1747, he extracted sugar from the sugar beet and determined it was identical to cane sugar. But it was not for almost another century, in 1802, that the first beet sugar refinery would be built. In 1797, the first patent for a washing machine was issued to Nathaniel Briggs. In 1879, Elmer McCollum was born, an American biochemist. He originated the letter system of naming vitamins. He discovered vitamins A and B, and he worked with others on vitamin D. He also researched how certain minerals were important as nutrients, including calcium, phosphorus, manganese, and zinc. Also in 1879, the U.S. Geological Survey was founded by an act of Congress to classify public lands, their geological structures, mineral resources, and products. The first survey actually funded by Congress came some 50 years earlier, examining the land between the Missouri and Red Rivers. And in 1892, the first tuberculosis test on cattle in the U.S. was conducted by Dr. Leonard Pearson, the dean of the veterinary department at the University of Pennsylvania. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. The National Weather Service has issued a hazardous weather outlook. Flood watch is in effect until 6 p.m. this evening through Saturday morning. That is from 6 p.m. Central Time this evening through Saturday morning. The hazardous weather outlook is for portions of central Illinois, east central Illinois, and southeast Illinois. This afternoon and tonight, a storm system will move across central Illinois. Today and tonight, it'll produce showers and thunderstorms with areas of heavy rain. Rainfall amounts from 1.5 to 2 inches are likely. It'll cause some renewed rises on area streams and rivers. These storms are not, of course, expected to be terribly severe. Locations on the Little Wabash and the Emperor Rivers will remain above flood stage over the next several days. Thunderstorms expected again Tuesday night and Wednesday of next week. However, those storms are not expected to be severe. Spotter activation, if you happen to be a spotter, is not anticipated through this evening. Heavy rainfall, though, is expected across the east central and southeastern part of Illinois tonight. A flood watch remains in effect from this evening through Saturday morning. Portions of central Illinois and counties include the following areas: Christian, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, and Shelby counties. In east central Illinois, Champaign, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, Douglas, Edgar, and Vermilion, that is. And in the southeastern part of Illinois, Clay, Crawford, Effingham, Jasper, Lawrence, and Richland from this evening through Saturday morning. Rainfall amounts again of 1 to 2 inches with locally heavier totals in excess of 2 inches will occur tonight and into early Saturday morning. Now here's Steve Hilberg with his look at the forecast.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The weather did settle down somewhat as we ended February and meteorological winter and rolled into the first week of March and spring. Last weekend was wet and stormy in Illinois, with showers and thunderstorms central and south and some freezing rain and snow north. Once that system departed, however, the remainder of the week was dry but cool. Temperatures this week were near to 1 to 3 degrees below normal across the state. However, by Thursday, temperatures began to climb over southern and central Illinois as southeasterly winds became established ahead of a developing storm system. Temperatures reached the upper 60s in southern Illinois and the low to mid 50s across central Illinois. It looks like we are in store for a fairly active period of weather over the next week or so. The storm system will affect Illinois this weekend and probably into Monday, bringing showers and thunderstorms to most locations. After a cool but cloudy break on Tuesday, another strong weather system will affect Illinois on Wednesday. Strong southerly winds should warm things up a bit, but it will also transport plenty of moisture into the Midwest. More showers and thunderstorms will dump rain on the state with this system on Wednesday, followed by colder weather for Thursday and Friday. By next weekend, yet another rain-producing weather system should begin to make its presence felt here in Illinois. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. We'll post Commodity Week there by about 6 o'clock this evening. Our panelists in studio will include Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services, and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson. Our guest will be from the United States Grains Council. It's all on Commodity Week, posted to our website by about 6 o'clock this evening at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L ag.org. You have a great afternoon.